We told you Dark Phoenix was going to come out eventually. Marvel TV Weekly starts now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, that's right. Let us tell you about our bad reputation. Welcome to Marvel TV Weekly. We're going to talk about Marvel TV Weekly, but we'll also talk about movies and some comics and some fun stuff.
You know.
I am Christian Blatt, joined by Carrie Lane.
What's up? We're live in the chat. Hello, the people who are live. If you're watching later, comment down below.
And Zia Anderson, a.k.a. Zia Land, a.k.a. Zia Landerson.
I like how we got to Zia Landerson. We went through all of my names. I'm really into it.
Yeah,
thank
exactly.
You, Christian.
It's like an evolution
yeah.
of the name.
Yeah. And in the booth, Tony B. Tony, thank you for...
What's up?
For any, thank you for everything you do. Thank you for being you.
Thank mm-hmm. you for being you too, Christian.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. So, there's so much to talk about. And as I mentioned, the top right there before our little intro, there was a big, exciting trailer for Dark Phoenix that dropped. And it is indeed big. It is indeed exciting. And I'm all pumped up for the movie. I already was. And you can play it while we talk, Anthony, because I know that we're not allowed to just show these things. Yeah, that would be fun to do a show like that where you just show movie trailers and then you like talk after them. But then you run into problems on the YouTubes. So I was super excited. And I'm like, oh, man, it's coming out on February 14th. Well, that's Valentine's Day. And I think Deadpool,
perfect
the first Deadpool,
movie.
Pretty yeah. sure that the first Deadpool sure. came out. On Valentine's Day. So I'm like, great, it's going to be a great date movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's out for 2 days, and then they're like, psych, it's coming out in June. Now, the sort of social media conventional wisdom on that is, oh, the movie must be really good if they're going to wait until June. Actually, that's kind of what it means, because the big movies come out in June, and it is taking a spot that was originally held for Gambit.
Ooh.
With Channing Tatum. Mm. Now, sort of buried in the story, the Hollywood Reporter story that mentioned the June date for Dark Phoenix, is that we are still going to get this Gambit movie with Channing Tatum in 2020 now. He's still attached. Oh. They still want to make it. They don't seem any closer to actually having a script and going into production, and I guess because they're like, well, it's like almost 2 years away. But, you know, you need something to have. So I am really looking forward to the story, which by all indications is going to really be the last installment of this generation of X-Men movies. I'm counting both of them, you know, the original cast and then the first class cast, because, you know, Marvel's going to have Disney do probably a once over little refurbishment. And I don't think that we'll see any more of these. But it's a great story. And as I've said many times on the show, the Dark Phoenix saga, which originally appeared in Uncanny X-Men 129 to 137, is, to me, still the greatest comic book story ever told. They are going to tell it a little bit differently. And as you're looking right there, you saw it said February 14th. And they should put like quotes around it. February 14th. But in any case, it'll still come out, and it's still an exciting trailer, still worth talking about. Zia, you see that trailer, and you think what?
I think I'm excited. I think that they've done a good enough job, with the trailer at least, that it looks very promising. I'm looking forward to it. I'm not thinking it's going to be a dumpster fire, so that's good.
Those are all good reactions. <You know? laughs> Yeah, absolutely. And there are some noticeable differences. People are definitely not happy with the X-Men uniforms that they have in the trailer. But, you know, I think whenever you have them all in the same uniforms, you know, when it's the yellow ones, that is the classic look. But at the same time, I like when everybody has individual costumes, because these characters all have cool costumes, except for Jean Grey. But when she's Phoenix, she has a cool costume.
Yeah.
All the rest of the time, it's a little iffy. What were you going to say?
I was hearing more of the complaints were not necessarily that they're in different costumes, but that the costumes look very underdeveloped and cheap and not cool like they were in Apocalypse.
Yeah, right. No, I definitely agree with that. And by the way, I meant to say June 7th is when Dark Phoenix is supposed to come out. And again, Gambit. You know, 2020, March 13th, 2020. So you want to circle that on your calendars. I said 2019, but that's next year. It's 2020. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. But still in development, no director. Channing Tatum's on board. He might have to direct it himself at this point. So Carrie, what were there positives you saw, or are your feelings about Dark Phoenix kind of where they were before this trailer?
I think I was interested before, still interested. I don't know a ton about this storyline, so I'm curious to see what they'll do with it. Looking over at the chat, Black Magic says, I don't mind the costumes. Nicholas Stormy says, I'm super excited for Dark Phoenix, but I miss Famke Jensen. And where was it? Somebody else said they were excited. Anyways, Black Magic also said the trailer looks pretty similar to X3, just without the mutant cure stuff, which is an interesting point.
It's an interesting point, but I don't know. I had a bad feeling about X3 from the trailer, and a much worse feeling as I sat there at the movie theater, just like, I can't believe they took the best comic book story and just made it boring. They just made it boring, and it looked like they didn't have anything for Jean to do there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, Brett Ratner directed that movie, and I will always point out that in the moment that Bryan Singer decided to not direct X3 and to do Superman Returns, he successfully killed two movie franchises, because that Superman movie was awful, and they didn't make one for a long time, and they put the X-Men movies on ice for a little while.
It's like two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
Franchises with one director.
Yeah, but now he doesn't get to direct anything, so there you go.
Anyway, speaking of killing, good question. Marilee Ortega in the chat says, I'm excited about Dark Phoenix, but how would it contradict from the Phoenix that we know from Famke Jensen dead? Dead?
Well, I mean, if you look at... I see what she's saying. Well, if you look at Days of Future Past, Famke Jensen is not dead. But also, this past timeline is somewhat divergent from the original X-Men
movies.
Like
an alternate universe?
So that you kind of have to look at... Even though there was Days of Future Past where we had the old cast, the original cast playing older versions of themselves... These movies don't necessarily run right up into the first X-Men movie from 2000. Like, I think things are a little bit different.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, it's a good question. Also, just because, let's just say hypothetically, Sophie Turner's Jean Grey dies at the end of this movie, that doesn't mean that there aren't plenty of years for her to come back to life, die again, come back to life and die again. Because that's what Jean does. She dies a lot. So there would definitely be time for some version of Jean to be the Jean that you see in the first X-Men film. But it's an interesting point, you know. It's like, what if she does die in this? Well, I think she'll be all right. Anything else in the chat before we move on? Anything that jumps out at you?
No, but something I had seen on Twitter, people were kind of like, so where'd Jubilee go? Because she was barely in the other one. And they're like, shouldn't she be part of this group of people? I mentioned this on the... box office, and I was like, I hadn't really thought of it, but a few people are talking about that on Twitter.
That doesn't mean she's not in the movie.
True.
You know, but yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, and this movie is supposed to be set in the 90s, and that's in Jubilee's wheelhouse, you know, even though the character debuted in the late 80s. She's got a very 90s vibe. I like Jubilee. I think she's actually kind of a fun character. Now, she's basically Dazzler with a raincoat. But at the same time, I would like to see some of her. And maybe she is in this movie. If not, they probably just took into consideration the popularity.
I got
Jubilee.
It. Yeah. I know how they can shoo in Jubilee.
Okay. All
right,
tell us.
So the X-Men save the day. They get rid of Dark Phoenix and all that. They have a celebration, right? And she just shoots off her fireworks into the air. And that's all we see of Jubilee.
Perfect, Tony. That's what she's That's what she's good for.
Right? Like, she's a festival in
but
person.
But is she wearing her raincoat?
Damn right. Along with the shades. Like, she has to be.
Yeah, that's true. She does have to have the shades.
Yeah, right. She's going to show up at the end there. She's going to have the whole getup. Yeah,
all right. Well, then I guess that'll be enough. And chat, let us know if you think that's enough Jubilee or
confirmed
if you want more.
By Tony B. Tony.
But it is a good point, because she was a part of the animated series, which is sort of like the benchmark for X-Men for a lot of people, and those are the characters that people tend to want to see, including Zia's. Like, yes,
and Carrie.
We've
talked about this before.
And where's Bishop?
I would like to see more Bishop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe Disney. Maybe Disney will have Bishop.
Yeah.
Speaking of Disney, we actually didn't mention this last week, but Disney's streaming service, which I believe is called Disney Play, is going to have two. It's they're being billed as limited series. So, you know, but they're part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and they're going to have the stars associated with the characters, so it's very exciting. There will be two shows, at least right now they've announced two. One, Loki, with Tom Hiddleston as Loki, and the other is Scarlet Witch, with Elizabeth Olsen as Scarlet Witch. So I think these are sort of viewed more as like, okay, these are characters that are never going to get standalone movies, but let's give them sort of like official part of the universe miniseries. Carrie, your thoughts on these two characters getting, you know, not weekly series for 5 years, which is probably good, but what do you think about getting sort of an extended look at each of these characters?
Loki's a very, if strangely, very popular character, and I know people love him. I think he's fine. I don't hate him or I don't love him.
I know people
him.
That feel like, the same way as you, even though the majority is like, oh my God, I love Loki. There are definitely people that are like, he's okay.
He's fine. Yeah. Tom Hiddleston has done TV. He did Night Manager, which was like a limited series. Correct. With Hugh Laurie. So,
Dr. House.
Yes.
Sorry.
It's a good series.
Tom Hiddleston and Hugh Laurie, you got me like right there.
It was on like a year and a half ago. Yeah. Where have you been?
I did an after show
watching
here,
too many other things.
Yeah, that's true. Well, there is a lot out there.
Yeah, so I could see, like, that's an actor that I'm like, oh, yeah, he's done film, and he'd be okay to do it, like, a limited run series. And I think limited would be better, be like, all right, like, here, like a Netflix idea.
Well,
our package, we're just doing this, not fluff episodes.
And you're also saying, like, here's your commitment, it's whatever it takes to film this limited series. You don't have to come back the next year, you can still pursue movie roles, all the other things that you want to do. And you get to play this character that clearly seems like a lot of fun to play. Mm-hmm. Zia, what do you think about this choice of these two characters, Loki and Wanda Maximoff, the Scarlet Witch?
I like that they did that. I like that they chose someone who's somewhat of a villain, I guess, sort of, a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, it comes and goes. He's always the god of lies.
Yeah.
But
there's
flashes of him sort of having better intentions, trying to walk the right path.
Yeah.
You know,
and then they also have Wanda, who's just fantastically powerful. Mm-hmm. So I like that those are the two characters that they chose.
Important question, though. Do you think we're going to get Elizabeth Olsen with the accent or without the accent?
I hope with it.
Oh, really? Because I hope without.
Oh, you hope without it.
Because with the accent, it's going to be hard for me to listen to it. I might select the ultimate.
Remind me, what accent does she have or not have?
I am Scarlet Witch, and I am here to cast spells on all of you.
Is it just me? Maybe it's just me because I just really enjoy the
Russian accent. I thought it was more subtle in the
I mean, I'm definitely exaggerating
movie.
It because it's funny. Well, no, the last movie, she didn't have it. Yeah, in Infinity War.
So they were like.
The Thanos snapped it away, and she just had an American accent.
Yeah.
Which I guess she got from talking to Vision.
I don't remember it being a problem.
It was a little hard to listen to when we first met her.
Sounded a little too fake.
Just a little, yeah.
Okay. So maybe her forte is not the accents.
Well, I think
the Russian anyway.
Yeah, the Russo brothers saying like, you know, just lose the accent this time. Mm-hmm. That was a good choice.
Black Magic agrees with you. Like that accent.
But I think it's great because, like I said, these are characters that we're not going to get a backstory of. I would love it if the Scarlet Witch series also involved Vision, who I don't think will get a series of him either.
Oh, yeah, no, probably
but
not.
I like those two characters' interaction. There was a great Vision and Scarlet Witch miniseries in the 80s where they were married. They actually made a baby, believe it or not. She had twins, and then it all got retconned away. But in the course of the series, it was fun. So, I don't know. I like to see her and Vision together. It was one of those things that maybe people didn't love in Infinity War, but I was just happy that they at least went there a little bit.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
I think it'll be cool to see them, you know, to see both of those series.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's, I don't know, I feel like Loki, if I just had to guess, maybe like a Loki on Earth series, because Loki in Asgard is super expensive.
It'd be funnier on Earth.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Although antics he could get on.
That's a good point.
Him interacting with humans, with human people.
Yes.
I could see that being awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, no real dates on that. No real launch date for the Disney streaming service. But And, you know, they are doing a pretty good job of generating the original content. I mean, Jon Favreau is supposed to direct a Star Wars series, and there's going to be these two series in there. So, you know, I'm in. If they just do, like, a Star Wars version of Swingers, I think that would be fun. That's what the next Han Solo movie should be, is basically Han and Lando in Swingers. And
oh, I know these, my God.
Well, it's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
Okay, I was going to say, like, Tony, don't you dare say this is a great idea.
I'm all for it.
All right, I'm glad you're in favor of it. There's some more news to talk about, but before we get to that, Zia has this important message.
Mm-hmm. Hey, AfterBuzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that is tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we will thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Thank you, Zia. Now, we are going to talk about one of the shows that Marvel TV Weekly, when we started, we would get to every week because it was new. And we haven't had any new episodes in a while. We're talking about The Gifted, which airs Tuesdays at 8 o'clock, 7 Central on Fox. And this is season 2. And the first episode is entitled Emergence with a big M. All the titles in the first season had big X's somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to start with Zia because this was the first episode you ever saw. And any background you had in The Gifted was from sitting at this desk and hearing us talk about it. What were your thoughts, good, bad? Was it confusing at all? Because, you know, there was a little recap at the beginning, but I had seen the previous 13 episodes.
There was a recap in the beginning. Mostly during the episode, it was just, it is relatively easy to put together. The only thing I don't have is different character relationships and how much they mean to each other because I didn't see
that
build.
Complicated layers.
I was kind of sensing that. And so was a little bit confused on why, green hair.
Polaris.
Thank
Lorna
you.
Lorna is her.
Lorna Wright was away from her baby daddy, and
they had a big argument.
Because she used her power to bring down an airplane.
Okay.
And it killed everybody on it. But it was for a tactical reason that she did that.
Okay. Well, it's also in the trailer of he's like, oh, I'm going to love our baby. And she says, our baby's going to need more than love. She's way more for doing violence to get things done. He's not.
And that's sort of the schism in the two groups, a lot of them being together in the first season. Mm-hmm. And
I got to say, it really mimics the whole Xavier / Magneto.
Yeah. They're the two different schools of thought. I mean, and in the case of the Strucker, parentheses, Von Strucker family, the siblings, Lauren and Andy.
Yeah.
And, you know, we sort of see that they're separated, but yet they're, you know, she's imagining that she's interacting with him and all that.
Yeah, that dream sequence.
Yeah.
I knew that was a dream.
I knew it was a dream sequence, but I was just...
I was hoping it was channeled, though.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
that meant more.
I think the impression that I get is that it's going to be
important. Yeah, all right. It's not confirmed yet.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
What else, Zia? What did you, was there anything that you really liked?
You know what? From what I heard from the previous season, they use their powers a lot in this episode, and that was really cool. They start off getting right into it.
Yes.
I really like the tone of the show. I think they did a really good job with that, making it. It wasn't too cheesy for me. The acting was actually impressive. Like I actually was watching this and was very, very pleasantly surprised and was like, oh, as long as it doesn't get worse, I can watch this season. It's not going to be like a tough season for me to get through so far, hopefully.
Yeah, I would say still don't go back and watch season one.
Okay,
I'm not.
You'll be fine.
I was going to ask you if this was enough to make you watch season one, but I think you just gave me the answer.
Yeah, from everything I've heard, I think I'm just going to go ahead and skip it and just jump on in season two.
I would
two.
Probably watch like the last three episodes?
Last two or three. Yeah. I mean, it definitely picked up towards the end to the extent that I was looking forward to this season.
Yeah.
Carrie, you did watch season one.
I did.
So your thoughts on the season two premiere, Emergence?
I thought it was good. I thought it was nice how they pick up things right where we left off. I think Andy's white hair is kind of dumb. Yeah, I mean, an explanation for it.
It's just like
he's evil now. His evil hair.
Do you have to explain when you change your hair? Like,
well, if that's
well,
the
she's
thing,
evil
though.
Now.
Can't tell the way they do it. I can't tell if he just dyed it or if that's a result of
like
behavior.
Using his powers or something.
Yeah. And in this world, it could be the other, and that makes it more interesting, but then I'd want to know that. Does that make sense?
The cuckoos just stress him out where like, he's just
then
getting
that's
white
fine, too. I'm down with that. I think it's great that we have the dad. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Reed,
his power's coming back.
Yeah.
Because it's like we needed to get to that quick, and as his character is sticking around, we kind of need him to have powers. And then the husband-wife couple in that way of being like the human mutant, they need to have one of them have powers to like for the community to accept them.
Yeah.
Though they are very helpful of medical and other assistance too, but you know, it just
right.
more
and
dig in.
What I always said in the first season was that I just really wanted the parents to go away, get killed, whatever, because they didn't have powers. They were really just dragging the show down so much because it was like they thought people were tuning in to see this family drama, which I wasn't that interested in.
Yeah.
So him having powers is interesting because obviously his father had powers, his kids have fathers. It would make his kids have powers.
Yeah.
It would make sense if he actually did. They just didn't show up. You know, some late onset mutant powers.
I like that right away that Lauren is like, no, Andy left. They're saying that argument right away. I'm like, thank you. No,
yeah,
it's not.
Like he didn't get kidnapped. Yeah.
A couple of things that I agree and was interesting in the chat, and they also say, Nicholas Stormy says, poor Andy, he's getting so much crap. Poor emo teen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Orlando Williams, I like his hair. It makes him look older. Serenity says, he's hot now. I love his hair.
All right. Score one for Andy.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, me. It could go either way.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see where they continue to develop. Some of it is a little overdramatic because Marcos, it's like, you don't know she's dead and can we take a breath? Like,
yeah.
I almost wanted him to have like some like light beam something.
He's a father to be. Like, what if he's like able to sense his like what his, you know.
Then he'd know she's still alive.
Mainly wife's like, hey, I need to be with her. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just like he knows for a fact that his baby's coming and he's not there. That would destroy me as a being.
I want more powers, which they're showing more of that too.
Yes.
A little bit. Though it was funny, the one girl that we see briefly of picking up the chair to go out the window, I'm like, it would have been faster for her to pick up that chair and throw it.
Yeah.
Though, if her force of movement is stronger, I'd buy that.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, I know. I mean, look, not everybody has amazing powers, you know?
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean,
I'm totally okay with that, but it's just one of those, like, you're running out the door. Maybe
There was a miniseries called Beauty and the Beast that starred Dazzler and the Beast, Hank McCoy.
Yes.
And in that miniseries, you got to meet people who had powers and were ostracized for being mutants.
Yeah.
But, like, I remember specifically there was this one woman who what she could do is she could change the color of flowers.
Okay.
Is all she could do.
Yeah.
So there's no practical, like, you know, fighting. There's nothing you can do in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't help you. It's just like, oh, you're a mutant. I hate you. And, oh, look, your roses are now green.
And maybe I'm just a little bit excited because then I met Natalie Allen Lind in person that day I watched the episode.
Oh, and
so
that,
I was like, and that's
Lauren?
Strucker. Yeah.
That's Lauren's name.
Yes. So I met Lauren.
She always looked more, she looked like more of a Claire to me. But anyway,
her name is Natalie Allen Lind. No, I watched
That's
it.
That's the actress's name.
Yeah.
She's been on three shows that I watched. She was on The Goldbergs. She was on Gotham. And she's on this show. I never knew that was her name. But I like her.
Well,
so
she's
come on the
nice.
Show sometime.
I watched it Friday morning. And then I went to Queen Mary Dark Harbor. And literally, no joke, we parked our car here. She and her sister were parked in this car, and we didn't know. And then we get walking closer, and I'm looking over, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's her. And even the security guy, when we were getting ready to check in, he reacted. So we were just not like following her, but kept running into her. And then finally, I was like, all right, I swear I'm not following you, but can we get a picture? And then I told her about our show. So hopefully, we can be like, hey, come in.
Yep.
She
that
came
would
in
be
for
so
Gotham.
Cool.
What's it?
So she's been in here
for Gotham. Gotham?
So oh, she was look. On Gotham. So she's like, yeah, totally. So anyway, she was super nice, and I'll post pictures of it. But I sent them messages. I'm like, guys, get some.
I
know,
and I just had the character name wrong. I knew who it was, yeah. But I'm like, oh, that. Man.
But yeah,
it was before I'd watched the episode too. So yeah, I was
so
like,
you're like, I don't you're know like, what is this?
You're like, I have no idea who that is.
I know now though. But yeah, now it's cool.
I was happy to know that she was very nice in person because some people you meet them and they're like, eh. But I'm like, can I get a picture? And she's like, yeah, totally.
Yeah, I was like that. That's awesome. I was really excited to meet. Amy Cassandra Martinez, and then you meet her in person and she's awful. She's a terrible person. Just yeah. kidding. She's like yeah. one of the sweetest people you could ever meet. But it's true. When you meet like actors and mm-hmm. you know that sort of thing, there's a moment where you're like, oh, okay. Yeah.
There are yeah. some people that
yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was an intern at SNL. Will Ferrell, one of the nicest guys you ever meet. And then people nowhere near as famous as him. You're like, oh, interesting. You're like that. Okay. Anyway, weird. Story for another time.
Side note on that, too. Like at Comic-Con, when I ran into a couple Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. actors, some of them are way more excited of like, yeah. oh, yeah, of course, let's do a photo. Others are like, okay.
Yeah. Like, again.
I'll do my duty.
Yeah.
You know.
So the interesting thing for me as we look forward to yes. the rest of the season of The Gifted is the dealing with the inner circle of the Hellfire Club. I think that yes. there's a lot to do there.
Mm-hmm.
And the Stepford Cuckoos were a great addition
oh, I love them.
To the season, yeah. The first season. Excuse me. And we have this Reva character who just basically has like a mass purge of people that are there in the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
And none of them recognizable faces from the inner circle of the Hellfire Club, but from the comics, I mean. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes forward. There's obviously two very different schools of thought. And it was interesting to sort of see where they were at in terms of what they were going to do about Lorna when she was having difficulty with her pregnancy. Mm-hmm. I love that Andy was there to help her. Like, oh, Andy...
I like she said, what are you going to do about preeclampsia? I don't know. Just
yeah,
be
like,
there?
Are you going to use my power? Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, Andy doesn't seem like the ideal, you know, wet nurse or whatever, or doula,
no.
you know, but you know what? He gets an A+ for you know wanting to be a part, mm-hmm. trying to be helpful. That's what he's doing there. So I think it's interesting. And Polaris is a character I like very much from the yep. comics, and they're doing much better with her character.
She, yeah.
One of the reasons I dislike the show is because they weren't using her in the right way. I like where she's at right now. I think it's very interesting and good for her. She's a mama now, and we'll see
yeah.
where that goes. Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Can I also just say I really love that. I don't know if you guys can hear me well enough.
Yes.
Hold on,
we can hear you.
Mess with this.
Well, you said it's good. Yeah,
okay.
There you go.
Is that better? All right, cool. I really like how Polaris and also Andy are very. They're not completely for where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not trusting mm-hmm. completely like the organization that they
yeah.
have become a part of. So I
yes.
like that they're not just like blindly following these people. That they're like slowly questioning them. And that whole Andy and what is it? Lorna, right?
Lorna is her okay. name. Yeah,
Andy and Lorna. Like dynamic with like, hey, I'm here for you, and I love it because it's like they're still part of. They have like that same clansmanship that's not fully there with the people that they are surrounded by,
mm-hmm.
which is really interesting to see and a really cool dynamic that I would love to see grow.
And you can tell that Lorna knows that she's there because they need her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like she mentions that if it's between her and the baby, they're going to choose her.
Yeah,
and so she's not complete.
She knows
like
they're
she's
using
not completely
her
naive.
Yeah. to some extent,
right?
And yeah, they're basically there because they had a difference of opinion than the underground group, and you know the Von Strucker parents, the Strucker parents, whatever. And this sort of just seemed to be a better fit for them, but it's not an ideal fit. And I feel like. We'll probably see that grow throughout the course of the season. In any case, I thought it was a good season premiere.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward to seeing more, especially knowing some of the fun things that are going to come in the weeks ahead. I know we're going to get to the Morlocks very soon, so
Yay.
I'm very excited about that. We'll explore the Morlocks a little bit once we get to that. But I did want to talk for a little bit in our remaining time here about some badass female mutants, because Polaris is one of them. Jean Grey as Phoenix is one of them, although the Phoenix Force is not her mutant power, but it shows the full potential that Jean Grey is capable of achieving. So, to that end, I asked the ladies, and I did so myself, to compile a list of what I'm calling badass female mutants, but we can't really put that in a YouTube description. So it would have been like bad A asterisk asterisk, and I just thought that looked stupid. So they're just favorite, but I was thinking of badasses. And Carrie, I'd like you to start with your first one, and then there's some overlap between you and Zia, but do you remember who your first one is?
As my number one?
You're number three.
Okay, so we're going that way.
Yeah, we're counting down all the hits. In fact, there's a picture of her up there, so then you'll know.
Domino.
From Deadpool 2, very specifically.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting character in the comics, mostly in New Mutants and X-Force. But this iteration of her, I think, was really well realized.
Yeah, I thought she was such a fun and cool character because you don't know much about her, but you're instantly like, I want to know more because, okay, this is my superpower. And constantly being told, yeah, that's not really, but all the domino effects that happen with her are so cool. Yeah. You just go, man, I wish that could happen in my life. You know, she just lets it go to chance and just has this no-nonsense attitude and can hold her own against Deadpool, like, screen time, which is a lot because he's very charismatic. And so I like that she's kind of the straight character to that, being a little more monotone, but still has a lot of life to her.
She's very confident, too. I love her confidence. She's just, that must come from just being really lucky and everything working out. And she's just like, yeah, I'm fine. Like, it's amazing.
It's gonna work.
They did a great job in Deadpool 2 of showing how her luck works. It's
sequence, like going down the street. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in the Spider-Man comics, there was a point where the Black Cat had gotten this, like, bad luck power, so everyone around her would have bad things happen. So it kind of made me think of that. But obviously, this is a big part of Domino,
which we can call back to the animated series with Black Cat,
Marvel
right?
Spider-Man, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
She has that power.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So that's Domino right there, and so Carrie's number two and number one are Zia's number three and number two. So I figured it was easy to have you both talk about it. So Zia, say why you chose Storm, and then I'll let Carrie speak about it. I chose an image for Storm that's my favorite Storm,
the
leather jacket mohawk Storm, which we saw in Apocalypse.
That's
badass Storm.
Oh,
Storm always had badass powers, but this is the point where she ends up being the leader of the Morlocks and then eventually leader of the X-Men at the same time. So this is the Storm that I personally like because it's she's fully embraces her darker side.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think? What made you choose Storm, Zia?
Well, Storm has always been one of my favorites. I think I might have said it on this show before, but when I was a kid growing up, I used to play with my cousins and, you know, imagination, and I would always want to be Storm, and I would try to roll my eyes into the back of my head and do that whole thing.
And you would control really the weather, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I just thought it was, I mean, come on, controlling the weather, that's so freaking cool. And I have a tendency, because I know Thor is another one of my favorites, I love that sort of theatrical, like, not of this earth way that they speak. I personally just think that's really fun and really funny. And she's just so strong. Mm-hmm. And also, she's claustrophobic, and I'm claustrophobic as well. So, just throwing that out there. You know.
There's a great Asgardian Storm story, I believe. I forget which part is the first, but there's a New Mutants Special Edition and X-Men Annual number 9, drawn by Art Adams, one of my favorite artists. And it's at a period of time when Storm doesn't have her powers.
Mm-hmm.
And Loki factors in and gives her basically Thor's powers. And it's pretty amazing.
That's cool.
If that's what you like about her, this is a story that you'll very much enjoy.
Oh, hey, all right.
So we'll write it down. I know I have those. I would have to dig them out of a box, which is the toughest part of having that many comic books.
I have Marvel Unlimited, too. So if they're there,
probably find
I
them
can
there.
Get them, yeah.
So in any case, Carrie, what was it that appeals to you most about Storm?
I love the badassness of this time period, but I also like that she grows as a person and later has this kind of wisdom and this kind of calmness.
She goes back to sort of the more classic look later after she gets her powers back. And, you know, it's a lot more like the goddess, basically, which is when we first meet her. Yeah.
And she just has that
somewhere on
presence.
Here. Oh, right here she is on my shirt. That's her.
Perfect.
For those watching on YouTube.
Then it's like she doesn't have to try so hard to be like, no, I'm so awesome. But it's like, no, really. She just knows and is the one who provides advice to and guidance for the group, which is kind of really nice and refreshing because sometimes X-Men can be a little more like, let's do this crazy thing. And she's like, all right, everybody, let's take a moment and think this out. Or, you know, just provide that kind of, I've been through so much wisdom, which I like too. Because then she's that person you could look up to.
Yeah.
And not just a fighter.
Right. And she ends up being the leader of the X-Men at a time when she, again, does not have her powers. Mm-hmm. That's how good she is. She sort of takes the title away from Cyclops. That's how good she is. In any case, so then your number one, Carrie, is Zia's number two. But Carrie, go first and talk about what it is you like so much about Rogue.
Yes, I like, the love of Rogue characters started with the cartoon because she was so
Which is why, for
fun.
Those watching on YouTube, that's the image we have.
I loved her sassiness. I loved the wanting to really help the group everything too and like protect her friends as well. She's definitely the team player of, you know, she cares about herself, but she wants to help everybody else too. And just such a likable, fun person. Like, she'd be fun to go hang out with, of just up for an adventure.
As long as she keeps her gloves on.
Yeah, you know? And it was always kind of fun and steamy watching her and Gambit on the cartoon, too.
And do you know that they're married now in the comics?
I think we did cover
that. We did talk about it. They were at Kitty and Colossus's wedding. Kitty and Colossus don't get married. And then Rogue and Gambit decide, like, well, you know, we were going to probably do it soon anyway. So let's go ahead. We get everybody here. So, Zia, your choice of Rogue, what was that based on? What do you like the most about her?
A lot of really similar reasons. She's very fun. She's very likable. She's very loyal.
Mm-hmm.
She is. She's always there for everybody else. And she, I know that there is one point in the cartoon where she almost gives up. Or she not almost, but it would have been, anyway, someone taking, you know, just taking her under his control. But she wanted to give up her powers, but then realized that she uses them to help people.
Right.
And so she decides to keep them, which is, you know, really hard because she literally can't touch anyone. So I love that about her. And do you ever notice, I'm going to bring this up and I'm going to sound like such a creep.
Oh, good.
She has the most amazing butt in the cartoon.
She has a phenomenal body.
You know,
she
I would does. Usually well, notice that, but I can't say I noticed hers in particular. But
well, her outfit is one of those, like, it's practical, but doesn't seem excessive. Because this is one where everything's actually covered. There's not some stupid peekaboo cutout spot.
Right.
And I always love the jacket.
Yeah.
And something you were saying, Zia, made me think of, I love the conflict she has of wanting to be so much a part of a group, but then literally cannot touch people.
Yeah.
So it's this interesting conflict that she has, and that was always fun to watch.
The interesting thing about the character, too, is when she's originally introduced, she is a villain. She's part of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants at one point. Mystique practically raises her as like an adopted daughter. So there's a great backstory. And there's at some point she just realizes like this isn't really the side of things I want to be on. So when she joins the X-Men, there's a lot of like, wait, her? And Wolverine in particular is like, I mean, if you guys are going to vouch for her, sure. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. I smell something. But she is a great character. And then, Zia, your number one is someone we were speaking about just a little while ago.
I didn't even think about that. Well, obviously, when I chose her, I didn't know about that yet. Yeah. I love Scarlet Witch. She's so powerful.
And she's part of the villains in X-Men number one because Magneto and the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. So you see her and Quicksilver. So this is like going back to 1963, I think.
Wow.
So yeah, so she's been around from the beginning and people don't always think of her as a mutant. By the way, also, as I just said about Rogue, she did start as a villain, you know, both her and Quicksilver. Mm-hmm. So, but what are some of the things that you like the most about Wanda?
Like I said, she's super powerful.
No, it's crazy because like she does those hex powers and it's sort of like a probability. It's kind of like what you're saying with Domino with like luck, and she just sort of changes probabilities and just like good things can happen for her, bad things if you're on her bad side.
Yeah. Well, like in House of M.
Right.
Oh my God. I love that storyline. She's so powerful. She changes reality and nobody remembers except for Wolverine. It's a really cool one, but I haven't read like a lot of other things with her. I like Elizabeth Olsen's portrayal.
I do
of her.
Like, yeah,
she does a really good job.
I lean in on the accent, but I do like the way that she plays her, you know, especially like when we first meet her and she's still not, you know, really comfortable with her powers and all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't want to run out of time. So I'm going to go through my list and I realize, Anthony, that I didn't give you a picture for one of mine. It's not my first one, though. So my first one that we're not there yet. We're going to get to the honorable mentions if time permits, but I know it's getting late. So I wanted to just get to the main one. So my number three, there is a picture of her with a miniseries with Wolverine. There she is. It is Kitty Pryde, who you don't usually think of as badass. But in this series in particular, Kitty Pryde and Wolverine, she is there's some mind control, and she learns all sorts of literal ninja skills and sword play and whatnot. And she actually takes on Wolverine. That's how and then she realized, you know, he helps her sort of come out of it. But that training stays with her from that point onward. So that's she's cool. Like this 15-year-old girl from the suburbs of Illinois. And then she also has basically, like, I don't know, classically trained from some master sensei. And so she's a lot more badass than, you know, you would think for, you know, the teenage girl with a pet dragon. And, you know, they don't use, I don't know that they utilize sort of her ninja background in the present day stories, but she is currently a leader of one of the teams of X-Men. So clearly she has a lot of respect. That's why she's number three on this list. She's not my, if this was my favorite female mutant, she might be at number one, but, you know, her badassness, you know, isn't what you always think of when you see her. But my number two choice, it sure is Emma Frost, the White Queen, who factors in heavily into the Dark Phoenix saga in the comics, and not well represented on the screen in X-Men First Class. You know, January Jones, nice work on Mad Men, but I just didn't feel it, and I was a little disappointed that that was our kind of our one shot. You know, she's an incredibly powerful mutant telepath. You know, rivals Professor Xavier. She runs a different school for gifted youngsters in Massachusetts. That team is called the Hellions because she's part of the Hellfire Club. And then, you know, there's definitely later history. She ends up dating Cyclops one of the times that Jean is dead. Ew, yuck. Sorry. I think she's a badass, but Scott, come on. You can do better. So she's way up there, though, because she's powerful and she's nasty. And my number one was actually one of Zia's honorable mentions, which is Mystique.
Oh, nice.
Who I think they do a great job with her in the movies. I think I prefer the Jennifer Lawrence version because it's sort of a younger Mystique figuring it out. But I'm not going to knock the Rebecca Romijn (Stamos) when she did the first one. That version, I think, is great because she knows how to use her abilities to kind of get pretty much anything she wants. But I think that the backstory with the younger Jennifer Lawrence version, it's a little bit more compelling. But that's just, you know, a preference in character development.
Did you like her in the cartoon where she has this outfit?
Yeah, that I love that outfit. That's a classic outfit.
Yeah,
and, you know,
me too.
She, there's a lot of efforts on behalf of the mutant race and some very questionable alliances. She is a great character. At some point, it's revealed that she's Nightcrawler's mother for no reason other than that they're both blue, I guess, is why they decided that. And I don't know. She's a great character. And personally, I am glad. That's one of the ones that I think Wolverine's a great example. There's a short list of characters that I think that the on-screen version really captures who they are and maybe even kind of advances it a little bit. So my honorable mentions include one of Zia's other honorable mention, Jean Grey. Now, to me, Jean Grey, when she's a badass, is when she's Dark Phoenix. And that starts with When She's Phoenix, which is the cover that I sent from Uncanny X-Men 101. That's like the moment when she becomes the good Phoenix. The Dark Phoenix, it is an appropriate name because she does some very dark things in that series. An entire planet doesn't exist anymore because of Jean Grey.
Whoa.
Because she was hungry. Whoops.
Whoa.
So, yeah. So that's how bad it gets. But I think they've had a lot of trouble figuring her out after Phoenix. But she's a beloved character. My other honorable mention is Psylocke, and it drives me crazy that they made her Asian for no reason other than the fact that Jim Lee wanted to draw her that way because her brother is Captain Britain. I've said that many times on the show.
They could still be siblings.
Yeah. Oh, no, they could be. But
they could also be half siblings.
But it's just not how she was introduced, is what I mean.
It's interesting to change the race of the character.
So, but that version of her really uses sort of the psychic knives and stuff. And it I have to say, it's a really cool look. You know? So, and she's definitely a badass. Olivia Munn, nice try. You know, she didn't really come off as quite as badass as she could have in X-Men Apocalypse. And I think they were a little too loyal to the costume.
No, that stupid cutout was dumb. This is great. This is sexy. Better. Why?
Yeah. It looked a little cosplay-y in the movie.
It's like, here's a great, easy example to make.
And then finally, our other honorable mention, I wanted to let Carrie talk about this before we wrap up. America Chavez, who as soon as I looked it up, I'm like, all right, I've heard of this. But this isn't a series that I've read, but it's a really interesting choice. So I wanted you to take a moment to talk about it. Is it Chavez?
Well,
Caesar Chavez, right?
No, this character, when I was looking up like strong female characters, I came across this character. I'm like, I don't know who this is, but I want to know more. So on this article I found, it says, she's fierce, she's gay, and can literally punch holes in reality. And yet her greatest power may be her ability to broaden our horizons. So she's created in 2011, come a long way, her appearance in Vengeance number 1, star in Young Avengers. She has recently graduated the big leagues as a member of the Ultimates, ultra-powerful team of the Avengers dedicated to finding constructive, non-violent solutions to Marvel Universe's biggest problems.
Non-violent solutions? Pass! Right? Not interested!
This is like, every SAW's like dream.
Have you thought about talking about your problems, Magneto?
Okay, she's been saving the multiverse since she was a child and is a hero to countless worlds. I have no idea what an Avenger is. She happens to be one of the most powerful beings in the entire Marvel Universe,
of course,
with off-the-charts strength, speed, and durability. So even long-established heroes like Captain Marvel are in awe of her abilities.
So I was like, who is this person? There's that level of power. You know, there's a handful. There's like Adam Warlock. There's a short list of people who are that level of powerful. And they tend to need to keep them away from Thanos because, you know, when you have somebody that powerful, they're like, oh, yeah, Thanos, you're tough. But, you know, you're not that tough.
Skye Patterson loves that character. Getting her own standalone film soon. But, yeah, interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, that's our list. Tell us yours. If you're watching the archive version of this on YouTube or on iTunes, just go ahead and send us a comment. We'll give you our social media in a moment. You can tweet them at us and let us know your favorite badass female mutants. I was very specific. I didn't want to say just X-Men. So yes, that's how we were able to get in White Queen and Mystique and some others. Let us know. And I always like doing these sort of lists. So we will definitely revisit this in the future. So anyway, that's it for this week. We will be back next week at 10 Pacific. We'll see after that, because I know for sure in 2 weeks I will be in New York, but we'll see. Just make sure you follow us on social media so that you can find where the show is. To do that, you can find me at ChristianDMZ, and I have a personal podcast called The Blackcast, BLADTCAST.com. I had a very special guest on the show this week. Zia Anderson was a guest, and we talked about Iron Fist. In case, for some reason, you're not tired of hearing about Iron Fist Season 2,
especially us talking about it.
Zia and I talking about it, you can go ahead and check that out. And since I'm speaking to Zia, where do people find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter as well, at Zia_Land. It's XIA_Land.
And Carrie Lane!
Yes, you can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's KARIDLANE.
And in the booth, we've got at Tony B, Tony _.
Yes.
And you can follow him, and you should follow him. In any case, like I said, that's all we've got for tonight, but we will see you next Sunday. Thanks, everybody. Until then, Excelsior!
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.